good to be here. If you would, take out your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 25. Or your iPads or whatever you use. Just make sure you have God's Word out. Please permit me a couple minutes at the beginning to say some personal things. This church sent my family out 4 years ago after equipping me for over 10 years. And I learned a few things from Brother D. Bowman. And then he started telling me, where do you want to go? Truthfully, I had nowhere in mind. I didn't have a target location. I said, I don't know. And he would ask me that throughout the 3 years we were there. It was supposed to be 2 years, by the way, but I'm a slow learner, as y'all know. So they gave us an extra year. Carthage, Texas is where we ended up. Now, if you were to ask me where Carthage, Texas was 4 years ago or even a little over a year ago, I would say, I have no clue. It's not on any of the maps that I've looked at. And actually, if you look at the state of Texas, the map, you probably won't see it until you get a magnifying glass and you go up north of Houston 3 hours and east of Dallas 2.5, 3 hours. And before you get to the Louisiana border, you might see a little dot called Carthage. That's where we are. And I tell you that, one, because everybody's going to be asking me, where are you now? And I say, I can't get there from here. Actually, it's 16 hours by van with four kids from Tampa. But pray for us. We're a small group, and you could probably fit the entire congregation on that one section right there. And I tell you, I almost can't look at Joe while I'll do this. It almost brought me to tears listening to the singing this morning. You don't realize how blessed you are until you go somewhere else. And so I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your worship this morning. Thank you for your example throughout the years, and thank you for equipping us to do things wherever the Lord may send us. It's been a blessing and always being in touch with you. And also, let me say very quickly, thank you for what you did for my grandparents. Having been gone, and my brother and brothers and sister not in this area, we left Mom a lot. But actually, we didn't, because we left her a lot of people to help. And I just want to say thank you for what you did for them while we could not be of service here. So, Matthew chapter 25. Let's read starting in verse 14. A very familiar passage. What some call the parable of the talents. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 talents gained 2 more also. But he who had received the 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought the 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Verse 22. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I've gained 2 more talents beside them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what's yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he who will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Don't you enjoy parables? I think they're one of my favorite parts of the scriptures because they're easy to get. They're easy to remember. It's like if I had to ask you before we started reading that, can anyone tell me the parable of the talents? Probably every hand would go up in here. You know that story. You remember it from when you were real little. The master teacher, the Son of God, when he went to describe things of a heavenly nature, he didn't use all these graphs and PowerPoints and whatnot. What he did is he told a story so that we could get it. Now, I know parables, some of you are thinking, well, he hadn't said the definition. He didn't say it's a earthly story with a heavenly meaning or it means to throw alongside, and all those are right. But if I can put it in my words, which I learned with Mr. Bowman, a lot of words I've never used in my life, and some of them I've never used again. But what he wants you to do is not just to look up and write a definition down. He wants you to get it so that you understand the meaning of the word. And if I could put this in my own words, a parable takes a truth or a principle and makes it easy for people like me to understand. How would you describe the kingdom of heaven to someone? How would you describe a citizen of that kingdom to someone? One way the master teacher did it is by the use of the parable of the talents. I want to make 3 quick points that we can think about this evening. Number one, it's interesting to me that God and all his power and deity and might, the creator of the heavens and the earth and the universe, I mean, he spoke everything into existence and it was exactly the way he wanted it. He said, "It is good." You know, some people, I'm married to one of them, has to do things just a certain way. And I appreciate that. Because if you delegate some things to other people, they'll mess it up. They just won't do it the way you want it done. And God did everything perfectly the way he wanted it done. Now, in the use of his kingdom, he didn't do it that way. He said, "I'm going to use stewards. I'm going to delegate to these people that I have created. And I'm going to let them do the work." Isn't that amazing? God could have used any method he wanted to spread the gospel, to let people know about Jesus and then how to become an adopted son or daughter into the family. He said, "I want you to do it. When I tell you about the kingdom, you are my kingdom citizens and you're going to be servants." A man called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. Now, a talent, I understand, is a lot of money. And I won't give you what it is in today's terms because who knows what that is exactly. But I've heard it's around a year's salary. I don't know if that's a preacher's salary or if that's an engineer's salary, but it's a year's salary. And for the master to give that much money to a steward shows a great deal of trust. I mean, you think about the guy with 5 years worth of his master's money. You think about that with the Lord's work? That he trusts us enough that he's going to give us the most precious thing, the keys to the kingdom, he said to Peter. He's going to entrust that to us to be good stewards and use that wisely. Now notice, a steward is not the owner of these things. He is merely the manager. You remember the story of Joseph, when Joseph was sold by his brothers into Egypt, and he was then bought by Potiphar. And you remember what he did in Potiphar's house. It says over in Genesis 39 that Potiphar made Joseph overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put in his authority. Now, was it now Joseph's house? No. It was still Potiphar's. The name on the car still said Potiphar. The name on everything still said Potiphar's. But yet Joseph had the authority. Now, here's one of those words I learned that I'm going to use now. He gave him plenipotentiary power. Aren't y'all impressed? Rich knows that word. Plenipotentiary power. That means I, as the owner, give you authority to act in my name. That's what Jesus gave the apostles, by the way, when he said, go out in all the world. Speak as I have spoken. But he's not the owner. We have a difficult time understanding that concept, I believe, in this culture. The land of the free, the home of the brave, where you can go out and earn your name something. Can I put it down in very simple terms? You're either a slave to sin or you're a slave to Jesus. Either way you look at it, you're a slave. We prefer terms like using brother, fellow heir. But you know, in the same passage, we're also bond servants and slaves to our master. We're taught in our culture that to be served means you're somebody. You've gotten somewhere. Not in the kingdom of heaven. Do you notice when describing the kingdom of heaven that is citizens there, Jesus says, we're slaves. We're servants. Matthew 20, 26, whoever desires to become great among you, how is greatness measured in the kingdom of heaven? Let him be your servant. That's a different mentality than the world has. So when we're talking to people about greatness, we're washing their feet. Someone said they washed feet today in class. I wish I was in that class. Not to have my feet washed, but just to see it done. There's nothing below what we should be able to do. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? And you're not your own. For you, insert your name, were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. 1 Corinthians 16, 19 and 20. It's a whole different mentality. It's not all about me. It's not how much can I get. How many letters can I put on the end or the beginning of my name? It's about what can I do for my master? How can I best glorify his name in what I've been given? And you know, your attitude and your actions reflect on your master. When the Queen of Sheba came to investigate Solomon and his greatness and his kingdom, she noticed something about his servants. Over in 1 Kings 10 and verse 8, she said, happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand continually before you and hear your wisdom. She noticed that these people who were servants were not hanging with their heads and going, yep, got to go get the water for the king today. They were happy. Now, can I just ask us a quick question? How does the world look on us as Christians? Do we have to go to Bible class? Do we have to come to worship? If we don't, the elders will start calling us. Or can people say, man, Jesus, your servants are happy here. They do the work of servants and they seem to be glad about it. The psalmist wrote in 122:1, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Most of y'all know my brother Patrick, who preaches in Joplin, Missouri. When he was little, we'd go to a Missouri camp up there. And I remember his first year that he went. He had heard me and Matt and Carrie talk about how wonderful camp was and all that. And at the end of the week, we came home and Dad said, Patrick, how was camp? He said, I didn't like it, Dad. There was just too much Bible. Is what we're doing for the Lord grudgingly or of necessity? We have to do it so we won't go to hell? Or we're going to do it so we can get to heaven? Or is it, I'm doing it because I love my Master? I do it because I'm glorifying Him. He chose me to be a steward of His, and He's entrusted me with the wonderful thing that I have to be able to help others and even save their souls. We should be the happiest people on earth outside of the Magic Kingdom, I might add. People should come up to you and say, why are you so happy? Don't you know what's going on in the world today? Don't you understand how bad things are? Have you filled up your car with gas lately? Have you listened to the news? You say, well, things are pretty good in my kingdom. Things are pretty good where I'm going. Things are wonderful in my life. And see, that leads to another question, doesn't it? And then you're opening the door for someone to listen about Jesus, and you're telling them about your Master. We need to inwardly understand our role as stewards and then outwardly show how happy we feel in given that privilege. Number two, look in verse 15. And to one He gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Now here's where all of your thinking of this pastory is coming in right now. It's going, you're going to talk about not burying, and you know, we are all given different things. I want to talk to you about using 5-talent thinking. Now, I know I'm making up my own words now. I've gone off and started my own dictionary. Some people look at this passage and conclude that you just have to play the hand that you've been dealt. That principle may be true in some cases. I understand some folks are born with physical limitations. Some people are born in economic situations that are outside their control. Some people have medical emergencies that change their lives. And others seem to have greater opportunities and been given ways to serve the Lord in a greater capacity. But I believe the text here is clear on how many talents each servant was given in the story. You notice He didn't give them all 3. Well, we're going to be equal about this. So I'm going to give, you know, this guy 3 and this guy 3 and this guy 3. And we'll see how y'all work it. No, this Master knew their abilities. And so He gave them according to what they could handle. Now, let me ask you a question. How many talents do you have? Have you thought about that? Now, I'll tell you what we want to do in this case is most of us want to put on the cloak of humility and say, I'm a 1-talent kind of guy. You know, I don't have much. I'm not like this guy. I don't have the opportunities as this person over here. I'm a 1-talent. Maybe we'll get so bold as to say, you know what, I'm the 2-talent guy, but just because the 1-talent guy is not a good connotation in this story. Because we don't want to go, I don't want to be associated with that guy. So I'll have 1.5 or 2. You know, we're not told how many talents we have. I wasn't. And these guys were in the story, but the fact is they all got a different amount. Now, how many do we have? We don't know. You may be a 1, a 2, or a 5, or maybe He's just using those numbers for example. You may be a 3.5 or a 4. We mustn't sell ourselves short. Or maybe better phrased, we mustn't limit what the Lord can do with us. Buddy Payne told me for years, and he told us for years, if you've been here very long, who knows what the Lord will do with you? And you know that's stuck in my head, buddy. Because I can't do much. But once I'm equipped, and once we equip one another and help one another, I, as Joe said, I can do more now than I could back then. At least I hope so. Now let me give a little warning here. Disclaimer. There is a learning curve. There is an equipping period. There is a training, so to speak, time. You don't give most 12-year-olds the pulpit and say, go at it, buddy. You're a 5-talent guy. I believe it. You don't put Michael Coffin up and say, lead singing. You don't get some certain people in certain aspects of the work and say, don't sell yourself short. Now see, there can be a danger in that until someone's ready. Bob talked about certain people weren't ready to serve in a certain capacity until they had been experienced some things. We also don't need the thinking that I'm a five talent guy, so I'm just going to handle everything. I'm not going to worry about Joel, who can do this better than me, because I don't want to bury my talent. So Mr. Joel, you know, scoot over, here I come. We still need a humility about us and a servant mentality about us that says, you know what, this guy can do it better than me, so by all means, please help me. Just to give you an example, we had a singing many, many years ago in Fayetteville, Arkansas. And I remember Richard Barnes was a guy who was a go-getter, and he was trying to get all the young guys involved. And he came to the junior high class where I was, and he said, all of you guys are going to lead a song. I went, oh, please. But all right. He hadn't asked me since. Some of y'all know and remember Alan Malone. When I was here and he preached for us, he talked about a man, a Christian in the Philippines, who was a Christian. They don't have much opportunity to preach the Bible over there, at least according to the lesson he preached then, they didn't. And this man became an insurance salesman so that he could go on his job and talk to people house to house to house. And whether they bought insurance or not, he was in their house. And while he was there, he said, let me tell you another story of insurance that you need. Let me tell you about some fire insurance I could sell you. He didn't limit himself, see? He said, how can I use my circumstances more for God's glory? Ryan Lanning has said here many times about a man in Minnesota who has no arms, but yet is one of the biggest encouragers of the congregation where he was at, because he would type emails with a pencil in his mouth. Don't tell him he's a one-talent guy. Don't tell that man in the Philippines, you just don't have the circumstances to be a two-talent or five-talent person over here. Not only do we need to work hard, brother and sister, we need to work smart. We are supposed to be wise stewards for our master. Stole this from Jason Moore. You can encourage someone, and you've just encouraged one person. Or you can tell that person's wife what a good job he did leading singing today. And then his wife is going to tell him, guess what so-and-so told me? And there, not only have you encouraged one person, you've encouraged two people. And if they've got kids in the car, guess what kids are going to hear about daddy? He did a great job leading singing, and they're all going to be encouraged on their way home. Multiply your efforts. You can go visit some of the shut-ins or the elderly at this congregation. And that would be a wonderful thing to do. But you could double your efforts if you took a young person with you and said, would you come with me just for, let's go eat lunch and then go visit Sister So-and-so. You've just doubled your efforts. You've multiplied your investment. You can listen to Bob's sermon this morning and be encouraged and built up. Or you can get a copy of the CD from the excellent AV guys over there, who I wish I had in Carthage, and go give it to someone else and multiply Bob's efforts. You see, there's a biblical principle here. I'm not making this up. Teach these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Paul to Timothy, Timothy to faithful men, and then others. It keeps going. So we're not just single-minded individuals here. We're finding out, how can I be smart with the Lord's work? Who else can I bring in with me to help? I'm not jealous of Spencer Cook and how fast he can do things. I'm going to bring him with me so I look faster. I'm not jealous of how well people do things. We're on the same team. And some churches get the jealous mentality, and the little bug creeps in of how jealous I am of so-and-so's talent. Well, they just think they can do that better than me. I hope so. You're in the same congregation. Don't think of yourself as a one-talent group. Think of yourself as a 467-talent group. And if we bring in a four-talent guy, great. Look how much more we can do together here. Carthage would love some of you. Now, before you think I'm in a horrible situation, we have two wonderful elders, four great deacons, and a group of people who would like to get some things done there. One of our elders is an LSU fan, Kelly. I didn't know those existed together, Christian and LSU. You learn something new wherever you go. I still think he needs some help, but we're using what abilities and what talents we have there. And if we use the single-minded, I'm a one-talent group mentality, we're going to stay that way. But if we start saying, what else can I do? How can I multiply my efforts? Then the Lord's going to give the increase. We need to use five-talent thinking, not one-talent-itis. Now you say, Michael, what if I really am a one-talent guy? Well, you know I've thought of that. But tell me, would you rather be a one-talent guy who thought he had five, or would you rather be a five-talent guy who thought he only had one? Because think about that. If the five-talent guy goes around all his life, the Lord blessed me with one talent, and I'm using it all. You've just buried four talents. And I believe that guy would get the same condemnation as the one who only had one and buried it. You don't bury your talents. You use everything the Lord gives you. And some of that may be learned over time. You may need some equipping first. You may need some people to encourage you. You may need to go with Brother Payne and visit some people. You may need to go with Rich and learn some things about studying. Do it so that you can better yourself for the Lord's work. These people put me to work while I was here for 10 years. I was up in that little room up there with some people who are now married, and some of them are preaching, and some of them are doing other things, Cody. See, these people will put you to work. Tim Finn is not going to say, just come here and enjoy it and, you know, make sure you come once a month. No, he's going to put you to work. These deacons are going to say, I need some help with some stuff. Could you help me learn how to do this? And guess what you're doing is you're learning to increase your opportunities for the future. You may not be able to lead the children of Israel out today, but learn some stuff in Pharaoh's house. Learn some stuff about the wilderness. And then one day, when you're 80, maybe you'll be ready. 40 years ago, I was zero, Bob. Finally, number three, stewards must give an account to the master. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. That comes from reckoning or day of reckoning, settling accounts. You accountants would know that. We can look at that verse with fear, as the one talent man did. Don't you know, as long as that master was gone, he thought about that hole that he dug. He thought about, I hope he's not coming back today. Can I do something with that, or should I leave it that? I hope he doesn't come back tomorrow. And then here's the two-talent guy who's just doing what he can, doing his opportunities. And the five-talent guy is going, these investments are going well. I'm working hard. I'm working smart. But one day he came back. We can either look at that with fear, or we can look at it as motivation, that I need to use what I have to the best ability. You know, originally the Gospel of Matthew was not broken down into chapters and verses. Originally it wasn't written in English either. But if you look at this story, I believe that it doesn't end where we stopped in verse 30. I think the thought continues through the rest of that passage because he just talked about settling accounts. Now, what does he go into next? I think he goes into a lot of one talent activities. I think he tells us, here's how heaven's going to be. Here's how your master is. Here's how we need to serve. And you need to not bury it. You need to use your opportunities. And then he gives us some examples. Here's what one talent opportunities look like. Don't bury them. By the way, this will be on the test. For when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, and He will sit on the throne of His glory, all the nations will be gathered before Him. He will separate from them one from another, as a shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Doesn't that sound familiar to what He just said? Now here's some one talent activities. Tell me if your skill set has gotten to this point yet. I was hungry and you gave me food. That, I'm not talking about you're a chef. Can you get a meal for someone who's in need of it? If someone's sick in the brotherhood, order a pizza. We've got so many opportunities now to get a meal to somebody. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. Now see, if that's too much for you, can you go buy him a Gatorade? I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Those are one talent activities, folks. You don't have to have a degree in order to figure this out. And notice, when He divides the sheep and the goats, both of those parties had the same opportunity. He didn't say, okay, you five talent sheep over here, I want you to do this job, and you one talent goats, I hope you can manage. No. They both saw the hungry people. They both saw the people in prison. They both knew about these opportunities. One group took advantage of them. One group buried it, made an excuse. When I see people every day, whether they be my brethren, which I think we have opportunity, do good to all, especially those of the household of faith. Here's where we learn, people. This is the group that we learn all these things in. Hopefully you had parents who taught you these things. If not, start now. Hopefully you had a genie cult to teach you how to be hospitable to people. Hopefully you had a preacher who would say, here's what this means, now you go teach someone else. Hopefully you had elders who put you in the junior high class and said, teach them something. Actually, I didn't say that. But they gave you opportunities to grow so that you could do these one talent activities and not be fearful and bury it. What do you think would be the result of someone, maybe your neighbor, maybe a coworker, who doesn't understand this? And they're sick one day, and you go over and you bring them a meal and say, you know, I heard you were sick. I just wanted to help out. That's going to affect them in ways that they've never felt before. They're not used to that. They're not used to a Robbie Wilson coming to see them in the hospital. They're not used to a Joe Rose calling them during the week and saying, how are you doing today? And it can have immense effect so that you have an opportunity there. Now, let's say we're one talent people and we do these one talent things. Even if we are, burying it is not an option. Those who bury the talents don't get the rewards. Jesus said, and whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of cold water in my name, assuredly I say to you, he shall by no means lose his reward. Matthew 10:42. The master's coming back, brother and sister. We don't know when. What it all comes down to is that we're just merely stewards of what we've been given. And I don't think the question, as much as I've spent this time thinking about how many talents we may or may not have, I don't think that's the right question. I think the correct question is, how are you using the opportunities that the Lord has given you? Because we won't know how many talents we were given. But we will know how many opportunities we might have been given. You won't answer to me. You won't answer to the elders. You won't even answer to your mama and your daddy. When you come and settle accounts with the Master, it will be you and him. Each one of those men came up to him individually. Will he say to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Sometimes I just go over that in my head, because that's what I want to hear. That's what I expect to hear if I'm doing what I need to be doing. The alternative sends chills down my spine. Will you hear the words, "You wicked," and notice this one, "lazy servant"? Why does he use the word lazy there? Because they buried their talent and didn't do the work. They buried their talent when they saw someone hungry, when they saw one of their brethren who was thirsty, when they saw these people who were in prison, and they said, someone will take care of that. Lazy, wicked. "Depart from me, you cursed, and enter into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." You know, in Carthage, we preach the same thing that you hear here, just not as good. In Houston, they preach the same thing as here. And in Joplin, Missouri, and everywhere that the people are using this, it's the same message, folks. It's not something new. Now, the dialect may be a little different. We may say y'all a little bit more in Texas, just so they understand. But it's the same invitation. Because we're all under the same Master. We're all going to have the same judgment. And the question is, are you ready? If the Master were coming to settle accounts today, would you be ready? That's a question you have to ask yourself, not on Sundays, but every day. Because he may come on a Friday. I talked with Dee Bowman about that one time. I said, "Don't you think he'll come on Christmas?" And he said, "I think he'll come on a Lord's Day." We don't know. It says it's like a thief in the night. And some people have predicted his return unsuccessfully, obviously. But are you ready? Maybe you've buried some talents and you need to go dig those up and start using your opportunities. Whatever your need. I know the baptistry is ready. I know people here are ready to pray for you. I know that this is a healing, comforting group of people who've been forgiven as well. We're not better than anyone else. And I try to make that point every time, because some people come into a group like this and go, "These are just good Christian folk and I'm not like that." Well, guess what? Paul said in his letter, "Such were some of you." We've all been there. We're just forgiven now. And if you need forgiveness, please come forward as we sing a song and encourage you.